Please open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 3. And we're continuing our series on the book of Hebrews this morning. We're taking fairly large chunks, but today I'm going to focus on some verses from chapter 3. And last week, we talked about those who choose to walk away from the Christian faith. And we're reminded of what a tragedy it is when someone walks away from Christ, who walks away from the faith. And we saw that there are many reasons, or many occasions, I should say, why someone might walk away from Christ. Perhaps someone in a church has really upset them. Perhaps you're young and you feel disconnected from what is happening in the church. Perhaps you feel that church is no longer providing what you need. These I would call the occasions for leaving the Christian faith, because last week we saw that there is really only one reason why someone leaves the faith, and that reason is a heart that is hard towards Jesus Christ. Many occasions why someone might leave the faith, but one reason, a hard heart towards Jesus Christ. Now, are you concerned about this? Are you concerned about having a hard heart towards Jesus? Are you concerned that your heart might be hardening, or that it could harden? We should all be concerned about this. And if you are, listen to what Jesus is saying to you now. If you are at all concerned about having a heart that could harden towards Christ, listen to what he is saying to you this morning in his word in Hebrews chapter 3. Look there at verse 7. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness. Just want you to notice briefly how Hebrews introduces a quote from Scripture, as the Holy Spirit says. There are two theological payoffs from this. One is that whatever the Bible says, the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit is the author of all Scripture, and the Holy Spirit is a person who speaks to us. And I know we had a little discussion about this after church a couple of weeks ago. He is a person who speaks to us. The point, though, is that our Lord Jesus is always calling us to himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is always calling us to trust in him and to turn from sin. And the Holy Spirit says, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. And this reminds us that when God took his people out of slavery in Egypt, and remember, he said, I'm going to take you out of slavery into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, when Israel came out of Egypt and they passed through the Red Sea, which was that great barrier holding them into Egypt, did they cross the Red Sea into milk and honey? Did they pass through the Red Sea into milk and honey? They passed through the Red Sea into a howling wilderness, into a desert. And God said, I'm going to take you to milk and honey. And instead, they arrive in a desert, a desolate place. Why? Why did God do this? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. God took them into a time of testing, a time of trial. And I don't know about you, but so often I ask the Lord, when I became a Christian,
Why didn't you just take me to heaven? Why didn't you just take me to glory then? To be in the presence of God, free from sin and the effects of sin and the trials and troubles of this life. You've asked the same question. And here's the reason. You and I are in a place of testing. This is a time of testing. Is your Christian life hard? Is it hard to be a Christian? Of course it is, because God has brought you into the desert to test you. This is a time where your faith is tested. And that word testing, it could also be translated temptation. Because in the book of Hebrews, a trial is a temptation, and a temptation is a trial. It's exactly the same Greek word that is translated one or the other. That's so true, isn't it? A temptation, when temptations come, our hearts are being trialed, our hearts are being tested at that moment. And every trial and every test is a temptation to walk away from our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you have the ore dug up from the ground. You don't know what's in the ore, do you, until you put it into the crucible. And then the fire, the fierce flame is applied to that ore in the crucible. And then you see what's in there. Because all of the rubbish, the dross, is burned away by that fire. And what is precious remains. And if you are here this morning and you are saying it's hard to be Christian, every day is a difficulty. And every day I face a dilemma, a big dilemma it seems. Do I follow Christ or do I follow this anti-Christian way? Do I obey Jesus or do I obey the sinful desires of my own heart? Do I go with Jesus or do I go with this person? Every day, a dilemma, every day, a trial, every day, a test. And the book of Hebrews tells us that this is God's intention. And God is testing you and trialing you. Will you trust Jesus? Will you obey Jesus? It's a time that will either strengthen and purify you or a time that will destroy you. And in this time of testing, what does Jesus say to us? He says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. Jesus is saying to you, you're in the crucible. You're in the desert. You're in this time of trial and testing. Don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts to Jesus. You will want to harden your heart. Your heart will tend to harden. Don't harden your heart in this time of testing. Now we know, I know, that when I am confronted with my bad behavior, and some honest person and brave person comes to me and says, Campbell, when you said that, that was wrong. It doesn't happen enough, by the way. So I expect a lot of emails this week. But when someone does say that, I know there's two paths in front of me. Either I can get on my high horse and I can get cross and resist and think of 1,000 excuses why I said what I said, and my heart can harden to that person and what is being said, or I can humble myself, my heart melts, and I say, yeah, you're right, that was wrong. And this is what always happens, you see, when Jesus comes to you and me in his word, and we see that what we've said or done is being challenged. God's word challenges us each and every day, doesn't it? And it comes to us as a challenge, What are you going to do? Going to get on your high horse? You're going to say, oh, well, this is nonsense. He doesn't understand me. Jesus doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand my dilemma. I've got reasons for doing what I'm doing. Are you going to do that? You're going to harden your heart, stiffen your neck to Jesus? Well, our Lord is saying, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. And when Jesus comes to you and he says, you need to be doing this in your life, what are you going to do? You need to be doing this. What are you going to do? Are you going to resist him? The muscles and the shoulders and the neck tensing, tightening? Or are you going to melt and kneel and humble yourself and obey him? And our Lord is pleading with us in this time of testing. When you are faced with a dilemma each and every day, and you are tried and tested each and every day, and you are challenged each and every day, don't harden your heart. Because look what happened when people did harden their hearts. Look what happened. It's there in verse 10. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. And so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. They estimate that 2 million people came out of the land of Egypt. 2 million people crossed through the Red Sea and went into the desert. And of those 2 million, how many actually entered the promised land? Two out of 2 million. And what's the reason for that? Hebrews says the reason is because they hardened their hearts and God was angry with them. And God had every right to be angry with them. These people, dust and ashes that God had made, that God had formed, he had created them. Slaves in Egypt, and God in his mercy had rescued them with a mighty hand and mighty miracles. And he was feeding them every day and he was giving them water every day. And they just hardened their hearts to him. And they just resisted him and they said, no, God, we will go our own way. We will bow down before golden calves. We will not trust you. You promised to give bread and water every day. We will not trust you. And God said, I was angry with them. Of course he was angry with them. He had every right to be angry with them. And Hebrews is saying to you and to me, this is the same God. God has not changed. This is the same God. And he has brought you out of sin. He's brought you into the life of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his Son has died for your sins if you harden yourself to Christ. He will be angry with you. And their bones were strewn across the desert. And we will die. We'll die once and then we'll die again. The second death. If we harden our hearts to God's mercy and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there at chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They did not share the faith of those who obeyed. brothers and sisters, this is a hard time. And our Father knows it's a hard time. He intends it to be a hard time. And it's a time where our hearts could go one way or the other. And he's saying, remember what happened. Look back. Remember what happened to Israel. They hardened their hearts in that time of testing, and God killed them all, except for two. Learn from that. Take a good look inside, in fact, Hebrews says. Look at back to chapter 3, verse 12. Take a good look inside. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Do you see what Hebrews is saying here? If people died in the desert because their hearts were hard, then it is urgent that you look inside your own heart. It's urgent that you look inside and analyze and see what's in your own heart. And let's not fool ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not pretend things are right when they're wrong. Let's not pretend that things are soft when they're hard. What's inside? This is life or death, Hebrews is saying. It's life or death. A fake diagnosis of our own hearts will be fatal. And so we must measure ourselves to God's standard. You shall love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. Where's your heart at with that? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Where is your heart at? Take a good look inside. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. The Bible is saying we cannot play games here with God. We cannot play the church game, the Christian game. We must look inside and see the truth of what's there. And we need to be careful that we don't have the same hearts that caused those people to come under the anger of God and God's justice in the wilderness. We have a responsibility to look inside, to help ourselves in that way, but we also have a deep responsibility to help one another here. You see that in verse 13? Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And Hebrews is often talking about today, this day. And in Hebrews, it's the day that Jesus is calling you to faith in him, calling you to turn from your sin. It's the day of salvation. It's the day of repentance and faith. And Hebrews is saying, as long as it is this day called today, where Christ is calling us, we must encourage one another daily, every day. I just finished a book about the Falklands War. It was a ripper. Anyone else like reading war stories, military history? I love it. And okay, thanks, Paul. We can chat later. And it was a brilliant book about the Falklands War. And one of the little gems that came out of it, anyone remember the Falklands War? I remember it. I was in year seven, and I thought it was so exciting. I was looking at the paper every day. The Argentines had invaded the Falklands Islands, British territory, and Margaret Thatcher sends the fleet down to wallop the Argentines. And it was really, really exciting stuff. And I was just reading about this again. And the British sent the SAS, their elite troops, they sent them ahead of the main force to set up observation posts to watch the Argentine army. So there's the Argentine army. There was about 11,000 of them. And there's the British special forces dug in, just observing them, just watching them. How many are there? Where are their positions? What weapons do they have? How are they going? And the SAS reported back and they said, the Argentine army is going to lose. They're going to lose. Do you know why? It's not because there weren't many of them. There was a lot of them, a lot more than the British. And they had plenty of weapons and plenty of ammunition, and they were dug into great positions. The reason they knew they were going to lose is because they weren't looking after each other. Simple as that. The British soldiers looked on and they said they are not looking after each other. The British Army had a very deep culture of one soldier looking after the other. Are you dry? Are you warm? What condition are your feet in? Is your weapon clean? Have you shaved? The British soldier shaved every day, no matter where he was. Out in the field, he shaved. It was good for morale, and it was a way of showing that he was looking after himself. The Argentine soldiers, with apparently a culture of machismo, were too embarrassed, too ashamed to look after each other, to check on each other. How are your feet? Are you eating enough? Are you looking after yourself? Is your weapon clean? They weren't doing it. And they knew, the British knew, that they were going to lose. How are we going? If someone is looking at us, looking at Cornerstone, what would they see? This is a church that's going to make it. This is a church that's going to win, because we can see people looking after each other. And this is what Hebrews is saying. In this time of trial, we need to be encouraging one another and looking after each other. I was so encouraged last week after church to see while some people were having morning tea, which is brilliant, I saw some others praying for one another. Even more brilliant. Praying for one another, encouraging each other. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Do you see what form this encouragement takes? You see, I think I might be on the right path. But then I get three or four brothers around me and they say, Campbell, no, that's not right. That's not what you should be doing. That's the encouragement I need. It's the encouragement every man needs. And every Christian woman needs other Christian women who have the guts and the love to come around them and say, it's not right what you're doing. Or, keep going. You're going well. You encourage me. Keep going. In this time of trial, we are not going to make it if we don't encourage each other. And by the way, that word encourage, it's the same word as the word paraclete in John's gospel. The Holy Spirit is the encourager, the helper, the comforter, and we are to be that for one another. And men, just let me come back to men for a moment. I believe that we ought to be much harder on each other. I think we're much too nice to each other, our men. And we are not going to make it. And we're not going to be the husbands and fathers we need to be if we are not firm with each other. And so when it says encouragement, that also means to take a firm hand and to speak the hard words where necessary. Let's look for that. Let's be open to that. Let's be willing to receive that. So you can hear, can't you, what our Lord Jesus is saying. We'll finish with verses 14 to 19. We have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Keep going. Don't give up. As has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. It's that repetition. It's urgent. Don't harden your hearts. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So I can see our Lord Jesus. And I can see our Lord Jesus, and he's looking at me, and he's looking at you, he's looking at every one of you, and he's got those eyes blazing with fire, doesn't he? He sees everything. He knows everything about your life. He knows your every thought. He knows your every struggle, every difficulty. He knows what is causing you anguish right now. He knows your dilemmas. He understands them. He sees your heart being torn in two between one thing and another. He sees it all. He knows exactly the pain you've brought upon yourself. He knows exactly the pain that others have brought upon you. He understands. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. We looked at that last week. Our Lord Jesus is looking at you now with those eyes of blazing fire, and he reaches out his hands to you, and he holds out his hands to you, those wounded hands, hands wounded by love, hands wounded because he went to the cross to pay for your sins, and he holds out these hands to you, and he says to you, come to me, all you who are weary, burdened. I know you're in the desert. I know it's hard. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's calling out to you. Don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts to him. And he holds out those wounded hands and he says, look, I stand at the door and I knock. The door of your heart, he knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Don't harden your hearts, brothers and sisters. Don't harden your hearts to him. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, anyone thirsty? Let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow up from within them. Don't harden your heart. Say yes to him. Receive him. Turn from sin. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Well, we're going to finish now with an opportunity to confess our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite you to take out the corner post. Our Lord Jesus calls us to faith and to trust in him. And I invite you now to stand and let's make this profession of faith together in our God. And this is a great way to encourage each other, isn't it? So you're not just saying this for yourself, you're saying it to those around you. Let's confess our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Nicene Creed, on the corner post. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Thanks, Mr. Please stay standing and we'll finish.